Australia's statewide sports talk. On your radio, digital radio, the app and streaming. RSN's Breakfast with Half with Daniel Harford.
Good morning, everybody! Welcome to Breakfast on RSN. Nice to have you with us. It is Thursday morning. It is the 25th of May, too, if you're into that sort of stuff. Happy 25th of May Day to you and all yours on this Thursday morning. We have got a lot of sport to get through in the next 2.5 hours. Hope you can stick around and get involved in it. There's been a lot going on. We're only a day away from pretty much the end of the working week, and then we're on to the big sporting weekend, which we love. It's what we're into around these parts, and there's a bit to look forward to as well. There's a bit gone by in the last 24 hours. So we are keeping our fingers in all the pies at the moment, trying to give as much info as humanly possible in the next 2.5 hours about the last 24 or 48, and then the following 48, 72. That's what we'll try and do. And we'll do that with some very, very special guests this morning. Jack Gunston is going to join us from the Brisbane Lions, a former Hawk champ, of course, former Crow as well, back in the old days. He's having a very nice time up there at the Brisbane Lions. They're sitting pretty on the AFL table at the moment, and I reckon he's going to be enjoying his new world up there. And also, the horse that he owns, Fireburn, came back very nicely on the weekend up there in Bris Vegas. So I'm looking forward to the Oaks too, I think, up there for the Brisbane Carnival. So I'll have a chat to Jack about that. And he's footy as well, of course. Boof Lehman's going to join us, Australian cricket great, former coach, of course. We're getting ready for the World Test Championship, Australia and India at Lourdes next week. So we'll have a chat to Boof about that. There's some slight concerns on the fitness of some of the squad for the Ashes campaign as well. So Boof will have the latest for us on that, I'm sure, and what else he might like to do in terms of safeguard the squad. There's a few Aussies over there in England at the moment in the county system doing beautifully, who would certainly be sitting there just waiting for phone calls or a little text machine message from Andrew McDonald. So I'll have a chat to Boof about that in the build-up to the Test Championship final. And, of course, the Ashes just around the corner. Sam McKinnon, he's been announced as an assistant coach at the South East Melbourne Phoenix. Now, Sam McKinnon was the interim coach of the Brisbane Bullets through last year. It was a bit of a turmoil up there in the Brisbane NBL scene. I want to have a chat to Sammy. He was also an outstanding athlete in his own right, a terrific basketball player, but also a great footballer. I wonder if he's I played squad footy with Sam many, many moons ago, and he was an outstanding talent. I wonder if he ever thinks about what might have been. I'll ask him a little bit later on, but he's going to hang out with the South East Melbourne Phoenix for the NBL for the next couple of years, which is great news. Back home is slamming Sam McKinnon. And, of course, don't forget Robbo coming up at 8. Mark Robinson, the chief footy writer of the biggest selling daily in the Southern Hemisphere, the Herald Sun. And, of course, the main man on AFL 360 on Fox Footy. He joins us on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 a.m. with his wrap-up, all the latest footy news. And on the back of Justin Reeves stepping down as the CEO of the Hawks yesterday, this extended break for Adam Simpson, is it on, is it not? West Coast with conflicting reports out of that from last night. And the pressure on coaches. There's a bit going on in the world of footy, so Robbo will be all across that for us from 8 o'clock as well. So a bit to look forward to this morning on the program. Don't forget, of course, The Apprentice will come in with the poll for today, which you can get involved in on the socials. We'll give you a chance to win the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Balls, a box of those beauties coming your way if you're the best caller for the day. And the early mail today, we've got two meetings today, being a Thursday, a meeting this afternoon, meeting tonight. So hopefully we can find you a winner at one of those. Didn't quite go our way yesterday, but I think today's our day. I think we're Thursday specialists. Now, I don't think we're speaking to our dog man, Gary George. Prez, I don't think we're doing that today. It is Premier Racing, of course, at Sandown Park tonight, so we'll certainly be involved in the action through the morning, but I don't think it's Gaz's turn on, despite the fact he was a trebleman at Horsham the other day for us when he won for the Dogs for the first time in a long, long time. So that was good. That was good. So get involved. 1-300-652-927. That's the number to dial to get you through to the boys out the back, and they'll punch you through to me. I'll have a chat about the world of sport. 0416 90 50 52 via the SMS. You can tweet us anytime you like at Breakfast with Half or at RSN927 as well. And of course, you heard from Johnny Bowden. We say farewell to the Queen of Rock with Tina Turner's passing confirmed overnight by her peoples. Sad state of affairs for a lot of music fans out there. She was an icon, no doubt about that, with what she was able to do. Tina Turner, born in Nutbush, Tennessee. Yes, she doesn't need another hero. The Owl's our hero around these parts. He would have been a Tina Turner, no doubt, with all the latest news in the world of sport. Owl, good morning to you.
Yeah, morning.
You're a Tina man?
Oh, no doubt. What an absolute superstar. Very sad news to wake up to this morning.
What was your first introduction to Tina?
Probably around, it's hard to go back to pinpoint exactly, but around that time, I reckon, beyond Thunderdome, we don't need another hero.
Thunderdome, yeah. Mad Max.
Yeah.
When I sort of first hung out with Tina.
But what a catalogue of hits. You know, Proud Mary is one of my favourites.
Yes.
I'll give that a spin throughout the morning. I've got the...
You've got the tribute music
I've
for
got the
it
greatest
today?
Hits on rotation throughout the
nice.
Morning. Yep, absolutely.
Nice.
What's Love Got to Do with It? Nutbush City, of course, which is where she was born.
Yep.
Simply the best. Oh, just so many hits. So if you've got any requests, send them through to DJ Mace.
That's enough of the DJ Mace action.
Hey?
I don't know about that. If we can go the DJ Mace, I'm not sure that can hold up too long through the morning. Not sure about that. What has love got to do with it anyway? What else we got? Better Be Good to Me. Better Be Good to Me. I like that too.
She had a very tough life as well.
She did.
There's a very good doco on Netflix, which I haven't got to yet, but I've heard great things about it, on Tina Turner and her life. She had a very tough upbringing and was married to someone who probably didn't treat her as well as she should have been.
Very nice. Mm. No, it wasn't very nice.
Worked with some people who also weren't that good to her, so she did it the hard way, and she was dubbed the queen of rock and roll, and rightly so.
River Deep, Mountain High. Want to hear a bit of that through the morning, if you don't mind. I wouldn't mind hearing a few of those tunes. We'll hear them today. Of course, she did the 93 NRL Grand Final, didn't she?
Yep.
Was that Simply the Best? Did she do Simply the Best? Well, she was hanging out with Jimmy Barnes for a bit through that period, wasn't she? She was a Jimmy man, a Barnes man at the time. I don't know, can't remember quite where that association came from. But, yeah, an iconic figure in music across the planet. For Tina Turner, which she passes in the last 24 hours or so, but certainly leaves a big legacy. We'll hear a bit of Tina through the morning. It's only right and fitting.
Flick through requests, 0416905052. DJ Jazzy Mace will try and get it on air for you.
Oh, boy, you've thrown another name in there. It was DJ Mace before, now it's DJ Jazzy Mace. I'm not sure.
Premier League. Game underway at the moment, 50 minutes in at Brighton, and it's 1-1 against the title holders, Manchester City. So not much for City to play for, but Brighton, they're certainly going well. Can't finish in the top four, but they can, and they can't even finish fifth as well for a Europa League spot. So it's a bit of a dead rubber, this one, but 1-1 after 50 minutes, Brighton and Manchester City. Hey, what about this? A great start for Mickey D in Hong Kong last night with a win at the first time of asking. His first ride, he teamed up with David Hayes to get Starry Night over the line in race number two. Let's have a listen.
For glory with a good kick off the front here. Starry Knight's coming. He's only a length away. He's been lifted by Mickey D now. Starry Knight over the top. Here's a win. Mick D on the board. Race set number two tonight in his Starry Knight.
Thank you very much, Mickey D. Home.
One for one. Just sat in behind the leader there. Look at one stage like he wasn't going to get out, but did get out and got going late. And finished over the top is a very nice start for Mickey D, who's one of the hottest on the planet.
His last 18 months have been ridiculous.
Off the charts.
Yeah. Good luck to him.
My word.
Bit of boxing. Nikita Zhu extended his unbeaten run with a crushing first-round victory over Benjamin Bomber in Melbourne last night. Elsewhere, a thumping right hook to the eardrum was all it took for Joseph Parker to defeat Faiga Django Apelu, while Tom Bell Chambers took bragging rights in the battle of the ex-AFL big men, beating Cam Mooney by TKO.
Knocked him on his backside very, very quickly last night, did Big Tommy. 24 kegs heavier. I'm not sure the height difference, but good size difference as well. I'm 10 years younger. Poor old Moons will be waking up a bit soon. Sorry, I reckon this morning. I don't know about this. I don't know about this lifestyle for these fellas. You can leave me out of that stuff. Courageous, in a way, because... Getting in there must be unbelievably intimidating, and just going head to head with someone. I don't ever want to really do that. But I'm not sure it's a pastime we want to be engaging in too much, us old hacks.
A lot of sticker work for Tommy Bell Chambers, I noticed.
Yeah, be on the back, the big one on the back. Yeah, I did see that. Now, man, Campbell Somerville didn't go well for him. He got a bit of a pasting last night, which was a bit of a setback. He put on 11 kegs, I think, from weigh-in to fight. and he weighs 65 or something. How does that go? I don't know about that system. I don't know about that.
Zoo's opponent is it shed or shred?
He would have had to shed.
He had to shed like 400 grams an hour or two, cut. Yeah, he had to do that an hour or so. Have a listen to Johnny Famichon at the back there.
Yeah, it's... I think Nikita accused him of having to cut off a testicle. I think that's what he accused
him of.
He
turned up to the fight late as well, apparently, so... Oh,
it wasn't a great night in terms of going the distance last night at Margaret Court Arena. In fact, we might get the apprentice in to give us a bit of a summary of that. He's our combat sport specialist around these parts.
He is indeed.
From Good Sports on Sunday mornings on RSN, 10 till 12, and he was there last night, hanging out with Juppy.
Just a couple of quick ones from me. Akash Mudwell had stunning figures of 5-for-5 as Mumbai Indians thrashed Lucknow Super Giants in the IPL Eliminator. Now, Aussies in action there. Cameron Green top scored for Mumbai with 41 from 23, while Marcus Stoinis made 40 for Lucknow.
He's kind of right, the Stoinis.
He is.
A decent campaign.
Yep.
He's a T20 man.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too much longer than that for the Stoinis.
That's all right, he'll earn plenty of cash.
My word, he will.
And just lastly, the Celtics kept their season alive with a 17-point win over the Heat in Game 4 in Miami yesterday. The Heat lead 3-1 as the series heads back to Boston.
Yes, Scotty Gallen texts me straight away.
So he did me too.
He goes, are you nervous, Daddy, son, after the cash-out situation? No.
I just said, responded, prolonging the inevitable.
Can't go broke making a profit, was my theory on that one. Off the SMS, who hasn't done the Nutbush? First came across Tina's work at the Noble Park roller skating rink.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Johnny Bowden would have been there.
Johnny Bowden would have been there pressing the buttons. He would have been DJing. He would have been DJing the roller skating rink at Noble Park.
Like DJ Jazzy Mace.
No, I don't know about that. I don't know if we can back over that. Tina was a grandmother in the 80s, I reckon. That seemed to be how it was too, Tina. She looked like she was sort of going on a bit back in the 80s. Now, Johnny Bowden.
There's a lot going on in the 80s.
Now, Johnny.
I was a DJ once. I only did it once. It wasn't very good.
Did you DJ?
At the Hampton Hotel.
Oh, the Hampton Hotel. What sort of tunes were you
spinning? I played Nutbush.
Yeah, what else did you run with?
I forget. It wasn't really my taste. I was more a rock man. And it kept skipping.
Oh, no. I had scratch your record.
Yeah, the vinyl.
She would have been one of your favourites, though, Tina.
Oh, absolutely. Legend.
You didn't do the Noble Park roller skating rink?
No. haven't done that one, no.
Oh, right. I thought you might have been a DJ there.
Hampton Hotel.
What did happen in the 80s, Johnny? Actually, don't answer that. Don't answer that.
No, we
could end up anywhere with that. We'll get back to you very shortly, John. Thank you for that. Always nice to have a chat to Johnny Bowden, the Noble Park specialist around here. Scooter is our Sunbury specialist. He's on the line, 1-300-652-927 on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Scooter.
Good morning, boys. Look, not a Carlton supporter, but I reckon Michael Voss is under the pump for his coaching this week. So the last two, he's identified the midfield's not going that well. He's played Kennedy and Hewitt stud the last 2 weeks, and nothing's changed. So has he got the kahunas to leave out Walsh or Cripps? Because they're the two letting them down.
Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. Will he leave out Walsh or Patrick Cripps? Brownlow medalists don't get dropped too often. And Sam Walsh.
Co-vice captain.
The co-vice captain is one of the connectors for the Blues. Now, I think his disposal needs some work at the moment. His decision-making is probably more the point than his disposal, in fact. But there's no chance in hell, Scoot, that Michael Voss will be leaving Patrick Cripps or Sam Walsh out this week. In fact, I'll be tipping the Blues this week against the Sydney Swans. That's Friday night, isn't it?
Tomorrow night.
I'll be tipping the Blues. Who's going to stop the big forwards for the Blues?
Well, that's...
There's no one left at the city to defend them.
No, that's right.
Charlie kicked 6 last time, I think, against the Swans, and that was with all 3 in. But the McCartans and Dan Rampey. How do you defend Charlie?
This really is a game, and you know I'm the most pessimistic supporter there is, but this is a game they really should and have to win.
Well, there's that certainly a have-to factor.
Yeah, because they've got Melbourne the following week, so they'll lose that. So otherwise it becomes a very long streak of losses.
Yeah.
And that's the season.
No, I'll be tipping the Blues. I'm bullish about the Blues this week. It was $1.90 each of 2, wasn't it, at the start of the week, that market. I would suggest that's pretty good value for the Blues fans, if that's your thing. I know it's buy beware a little bit, Al, when it comes to that sort of stuff with the Blues, because they have been known to perhaps not deliver when expected.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be tipping the Blues tomorrow. I think that's a it's an absolute perfect game for them to get back on the winning horse.
Do you think, in terms of selection, do you think there's any chance Paddy Dow gets recalled?
Not if you're playing Walsh and Cripps.
Mm.
And Kennedy and Hewitt.
But could he come in for Hewitt or Kennedy, given they've been a little bit out of favour? Hewitt's been down on form, hasn't he? Yeah, they both have been sub in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Hewitt's form is nowhere near as good as last year. And I think that's one of the problems is the midfield is not... They're all having moments in games, but they're not working... They're not having great games altogether.
I don't think Paddy... If Paddy comes in... Now, Paddy's clearly dominating the VFL.
Another 40 at the weekend.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's anything... He's another point of difference. Like, what's he bringing...
Pace?
He's not overly quick.
He's not... Yeah.
He's not... Like, he's not electric. He's not really changing the dynamics of the midfield too much. That's the problem with the Blues midfield. They're a bit same.
Correct.
They're a bit same, so they've got to find a way to inject a bit more difference into there.
I'd like to have...
Get Motlop in there every now and then. Get Dirt in there for a little while.
Connor Rosie or Zach Butters, I'd love to have. If we can just facilitate that, that'd be great.
It might cost you Tom DeConnie if that's the sort of
that's
play
okay,
you want
I'm all right with that.
Oh, well, with Big Pitta getting 4 years, do you reckon that affects
what does that mean?
TDK?
We'll hear from the coach later.
Right, I'm going to listen to Mokovos and what he says about that. 20 past six. Thank you, Scooter. You are in the running for the Callaway Chrome Soft Golf Balls. A dozen of the best up to our best caller through the morning. Get involved and take him on out there in RSland. Oh, here we go. Big wheels. They keep on turning. Proud Mary. She burns a bit too. I'm going to get the apprentice in after this. Give us a rundown of what happened to Margaret Corn Arena last night as we pay tribute to the great Tina Turner on Breakfast. Now, anytime you're on the radio and you've got Tina telling you you're the best, it's a great intro, isn't it? And Jack Gunston's sitting there at the moment, the Brisbane Lions champ, formerly Hawthorn champ, of course, former Avo player. And he's sitting there and he thinks that we think he is the absolute best because that's what the play on is for his interview here on Breakfast on RSN. Jack, good morning. Are you simply the best?
You got me singing. Thanks, boys.
Oh, that's a bit of a pump up for you. Always happy to help out, mate. Tina Turner passed overnight, just by the way, if you didn't know that. She's no longer with us, poor old Tina. That's why we're playing the song, bit of a tribute for the Tina. But you are the best, and the Brisbane Lions are second best at the moment on the AFL table, sitting behind the Magpies. How are you seeing this this evolution of this new team for you this year in 2023?
Yeah, it's obviously, personally, it can be challenging at times going into a new team, having a gel, especially as a forward. You've created years of building chemistry and knowing guys' habits, so I've really enjoyed that challenge. It's been great. It's been good getting to know some of these star midfielders that we've got in the team, and we've got on a bit of a run now, so hopefully we can get one more win just before the bye.
Yeah, so how much work do you have to do integrating into that and specifically working with those guys? 11 years at the Hawks and you'd really built up great rapport with a lot of the guys around you who were fairly consistent performers through that time and were there often most weeks for the Hawks. Now you have to jump to another team and work with a whole different set of guys. How much time do you have to spend specially working with them and identifying each other's strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, I spent a lot of pre-season, whether it was conversations, whether it was watching tape with either midfield coaches, with players, and then obviously going out and training and just watching guys' mannerisms and when they turn and roll, when they kick, how they kick, what leg they kick with. For a guy like, I think my forward, I try and read the play and I've always prided myself on that. So being able to read my players and my teammates is something that I've done all through my career. So there's that element, and then there's also the element of working with our forward line, and we've got some unbelievable players down there that are playing some great footy now, so being able to gel with them, learn their system, and there's been a lot, and look, I've probably been a bit up and down with form, but that's all right, the boys are going well, so we're winning, that's the main thing.
What about playing in the conditions at the Gabba? Now, it's not every week, it's every second week, but training up there through pre-seasons and in Brisbane, which is quite warm and sweaty and all that sort of stuff. It's very different to playing and training at Waverley and playing down in Tassie.
It is very different. I haven't worn a long skins top yet. Or took me till the 7th of May to wear a jumper up here. So I thought that was a pretty cool novelty. That might have been a bit of stubbornness, though. It's different. Look, it's great. It's great for the body, but it's also great for the mind as well. Like you always want to get out. You want to train. The weather's nice. The vibe's always up. So in that regard, it has been a great change for me in the back half of my career.
You've seen some great teams through your time. Where does this Brisbane Lions lineup rank for you? How's it look going forward?
Yeah, there's some, as I said before, there's a lot of talent and a lot of guys that I think have the will to win and want to go to the very end. I think a lot of people can say that, but these guys have felt the pain before. They've got to prelims, they've got to semis, they know what it's like to get to the finals and not quite make it. So I think that's a good stepping stone to feel that pain and learn how to win and how to win, whether it's scrappy games, whether it's good games, and just chalk up the wins throughout the year to get yourself right towards the finals, I guess.
Is that talked about, the history, the recent history of the Brisbane Lions and their inability to go that next step? Did they mention that, or was that part of the conversation pre-season?
Yeah, it was probably more just touched on pre-season and where we can get better, or how we can prepare ourselves throughout the year to get better. And once the season gets going, as you know, it's week after week, and it's new opposition, and it's constantly planning and reviewing. And as I said before, we've got a quality team this week in Adelaide, and once that game's done, we can set ourselves up for the back half of the year.
And your back half of the year, I mean, physically, you're feeling pretty good?
Yeah, I am. I've probably played a few lower game time games throughout the year, so we've been able to sort of stretch out the season and not miss too many games. I missed one earlier in the year, and the body's holding up pretty well, so can't complain. It seems to work for Hodgie and Birch, so hopefully it works for me as well.
Is Birch still running? I see him running in the fluoro still up there.
He is running. He's running every week and keeping fit. He actually low-key played a game of footy a couple of weeks ago that not too many people know about.
Did he?
Yeah, it's good to see him back on the field.
There's a lot to look forward to for this Brisbane Lions effort, I reckon. And with the back half of the season, I reckon, with your integration into the team, it becomes more seamless, you become more familiar, and I reckon you get better outcomes for not just you, but the whole forward structure of the Brisbane Lions. So I can't wait to see this week against the Crows at Adelaide Oval. Man, they're going pretty well. What do you make of the Crows?
They are going really well. They've got a really strong system, and they've kept a lot of teams, all bar probably the weekend, to a low score, and they're a quality kicking side. They flick the ball around, and we all know they play very well at the Adelaide Oval. So, look, it's a long wait, 4:40 on a Sunday, but I think it's going to be an absolute cracking game.
Now, I'm jealous of you for lots of reasons. Your premiership success at the Hawthorn is one of those. Your excellent goal-kicking capacity is another one. But owning great racehorses, Group 1 winning racehorses, is certainly the main one, Jack. It's starting to annoy me, I must admit. Starting to annoy me. How many horses in the stables just at the moment before we get into the nitty-gritty?
They might probably around sort of 15 or so.
Is that right?
Yeah. We struggle to say no.
You must be...
The next one's always the best one.
Oh, well, gee whiz, if that's the case, you're in for a hell of a ride. Because you've had some pretty good ones. You've had Al Prechenes win the Oaks in Sydney. You've got Fireburn, who you've taken over the ownership of after your father passed away last year. Came back and won on the weekend, the Golden Slipper winner. What's next for Fireburn?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. She's obviously come up to Queensland, so she ran on the weekend, won the Group 2 Roses, and next weekend, which luckily falls in our bye, she's going to run in the Oaks. So she's run that trip before up in Sydney and finished strongly to come fourth in the Group 1 Oaks there. So we're hoping she's, I think she's $3 favourite at the moment, but hoping for another strong showing before she turns four.
How special is Fireburn to you, considering her association with your dad?
Yeah, she's a special horse, to not just me, but to mum and my sister as well. I think it overtook us for a while. It was dad's pride and joy, and probably the third sibling of the family, really. I've said it a few times. It's a pretty cool story that how it all came about, and it was just one of those luck plays that when you... The harder you work, the luckier you get, and that summed up Dad pretty well. So, hopefully she can keep racing, and good luck to anyone trying to take her away from Mum if we have to sell her down the track.
Yeah, I don't want to be in that conversation. It'd be a bit hostile, I reckon. What's it like playing footy when your horse is running? And you've got a good horse. I've had some rubbish ones, and I've played footy, and it doesn't really matter because they never win. Yours seem to be winning a lot.
Yeah, it's hard. It was perfect last weekend. It was a night game and was able to watch throughout the day. But, yeah, when they're in a big race, you you focus on your footy, but then once you're in the rooms, you quickly ask questions about how they run it. More often than not, half you are disappointed. So
yeah, that's true.
It's probably a good thing you missed it.
Well, you've got some work to do today. Hopefully Brisbane Lions fans, this weekend, Brisbane Lions fans aren't disappointed. You've got Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval, 4:40 on Sunday, the late game. So Lions fans will be all over that. Last one before I let you go. Were you the one that told James Sicily about the whole Tasmanian comments blowing up?
I was. I did tell him.
He said that yesterday. He
was in, check the social media.
He was in here yesterday. He said you were the one that alerted him to this whole situation.
I was. I think it was a little bit shocked because he obviously didn't mean it. But no, I had a bit of fun with him.
I'm sure you did. Great to chat to you always, mate. Good luck with the stable. That's a lot of direct debits coming out every month. 15 horses. But, yep. But good luck this weekend in Adelaide as well.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
I'll be Darren Lehman's private dancer. I'll dance for his money. Don't worry about that. That's something I can do. 20 to 8 on a Thursday morning. Very keen to find out what he's got for us today. The former Australian coach, Australian cricket legend. He'd be a Tina Turner fan, I'm sure. Darren, good morning.
Morning, Half. How are you? Yeah, sad day, isn't it? That's the legend of the music industry. She's a ripper.
What's your favourite?
Oh, simply the best. Has to be, doesn't it? Even for an AFL fan, the NRL promo those years were unbelievable, weren't they? Were simply the best.
Yeah, you would have had a few highlights reels played with that track underneath it through the journey, wouldn't you?
Not me, mate, because I wasn't the best. Simple fact of life.
Pretty bloody good as far as I'm concerned, Boof. Pretty good. Even the dog likes it. Which is
Even the dog does like being
barking, doesn't he? Hey, does the dog like Josh Hazlewood? Is there any concern in your eye about Josh Hazlewood's impact in this Ashes with this little niggle he's come home with?
It's a little niggle, isn't it? So you're a little bit worried about it. But look, at the end of the day, the Medisoc staffs are pretty good. They'll work out what the best way is to get him back. We need a fit and firing Josh Hazlewood. Obviously, we've got Scotty Boland, who's fantastic as well. So bowling depths are fine, but you'd really like Josh Hazlewood's record in England is excellent. So we'd really like him over there. So fingers crossed the next couple of weeks go quite well with it. And if it's only a precautionary one, then you'd think he'd be okay, but we'll just wait and see.
Yeah, so he won't. It looks like he won't be considered for the World Test Championship final against India, which is next June 7 at the Oval, which we're looking forward to. When they leave tomorrow, I think the Aussie boys. So Michael Neese is over there at the moment. Do you reckon, from what you're hearing, is he a chance to come into that team?
Oh, you'd think so. You'd think Hazlewood out for that one, and Nessa comes in as cover and may play. He's in an unbelievable form, hasn't he? Wickets and got 100 last week against Steve Smith, so he's been in form. And look, he was a little bit unlucky not to be picked in the original squad. So, you know, he's over there playing. He's in form, so I couldn't see why they wouldn't bring him into the squad.
So just on the fast bowling unit, Boof, it's five tests it's basically six tests in 7 weeks with the test championship involved as well. Five against England, one against India. How do you manage a group like that when you've got such quality, but you've got to get them through that length of bowling, that tenure of effort through a 7 week period?
Well, we've never had that before because we've always had tour games, you know, throughout the tour. You know, you've had one tour game after the sort of second test and then after the fourth test. So you've got a sort of 2 week break between test matches. So it's really crammed this time. So it's a little bit different. They've got the extra bowlers. So, and to be fair, if there's one strength in Australian cricket at the moment, it's their pace attack.
Yep.
You know, we've obviously got, you know, quality players right throughout, but our pace attack is unbelievable. So I'm not so worried about that because we'll be able to rotate better than England. If they've got problems, which they have with Archer, Wood, now Anderson's in a little bit of doubt.
Yes.
You know, they're starting to get thin. Robinson's got some problems. You know, they're dragging the other players now already. Their pace attack's not that strong. You know, in England conditions, if it's swinging and seaming conditions, then, you know, they're going to be quite effective. But if they're flat, like they want flat wickets so they can play this Baz ball, I'm not sure they've got the firepower to bowl us out. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting one. Which sort of wickets they produce and then what we go with. And from our bowler's point of view, six tests in 8 weeks, I think we'll be fine because we'll be able to move them around depending on conditions a little bit.
Does that affect the chemistry, though, of the unit when they are moved around?
Ideally, you want the five for the bowlers to play the five test matches, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what normally happens. In Australia, it's a little bit easier because, as I said, you get a break and you know what you're getting. And the wickets don't change too much. Over there, the wickets and conditions change quite a bit depending on whether you're up north or down south. So that will happen naturally. So it's not a bad thing.
Okay. Well, that's from the Australian bowling perspective. You talked about England having to bowl Australia out. I saw Stuart Broad's getting involved in the back and forth, which has been quite good to read and be a part of in the build-up to the Ashes campaign. He says he's loving the circus, the to and fro between the players, but he's targeting Labuschagne and Smith. He reckons he's been able to get a few things in his head that he's able to have a bit of an impact in this series with Labuschagne and Smith, and they probably hold the key, do they not?
Well, they do, and he probably needs to, Broad, doesn't he? I mean, he struggled against Smith Labuschagne in the last couple of series.
Yeah.
And he's a fine bowler. He's been a great bowler for England over many years. So the challenge for the English is to get them out, because if they don't get them out, we're going to make enough runs. There's no doubt about that. And fingers crossed they don't get them out. Now, boys make a lot of runs, and Labuschagne's been in good form in the county circuit, as has Smith in the last couple of games. So, I think there's always a challenge there. Depends on conditions, overhead conditions, if it's going to swing around, etc. If it's a beautiful summer, like it's predicted to be, and the wickets are flat, then there's some big runs for our batters to be had.
So what about the fact that the Smith and Labuschagne are over there at the moment? Do you like that preparation from their perspective?
Oh, very much so, because we've got no tour game. So not having a tour game hurts us a little bit, how I feel. But they're over there playing. So we've got a few blokes playing, which is good.
And from the Test Championship perspective, Buff, it's been a while since we've played a bit of Test cricket. What would it mean to win the Test Championship for Australia? But also, what level of play would you expect them to walk straight back into?
Oh, I think it'll be competitive. They've been playing IPL, so it'll be pretty competitive. India want to win it, obviously. And New Zealand won it the last time it was played, so they want to rectify that. And India want to hold the mace as such. Look, for me, if you said you can win the Test Championship, lose the Ashes, or vice versa, I'm taking the Ashes every day of the week. That's just a simple historic view from my point of view. So I'd rather, just get it right and get the team right for the first Ashes series. Yes, it's an important game, the ICC Test Championship, but Ashes is more important.
Yeah, well, that's interesting to hear. Speaking of coaching, because you're one of the greats, when you hear and see the conversation from Damien Hardwick this week, and he's having to walk away, it's all got a bit much, and the Adam Simpson conversation, they want him to take an extended break at the end of the year, and Alistair Clarke has stood down for pressures outside of footy as well. You've been in the cauldron of coaching a national team, an international sport. Do you think it's getting worse, the pressure of being a coach at the professional level?
Oh, it's tough. Mate, it's the best job in the world, but it's the toughest job as well because the pressures of it outside the game, almost off the field. The coaching and the actual tactical side is pretty easy and good fun. That's good fun. Yeah. All the other stuff that comes with it. So that makes it quite tough. And I know towards the end I was cooked. So, it's just what it is. You've got to be really enjoying it, loving it day in, day out, and giving it your all because that's all you can do. If you're not, you've got to get out. So I admire those guys who are taking a break because, it's tough work. Obviously, I took a break sort of mid-term of my tenure. It would have been quite refreshing and good. It's hard to do. Well, Australian cricket coaches away 300 days a year. Even double what the AFL are doing, if that makes sense, with more pressure. So, I should have taken a break, definitely. So these guys step away from the game. I see no problems with it. And, I wish him a speedy recovery. And then they get back to be a really good coach and good person again.
So you won't be applying for the Richmond job?
Oh, no. Now, if Adam Crow's come up, Nick, he'll beat me out.
Hey, Nixie's not going anywhere, mate. He's on fire, your Crows.
I'm happy with my Crows. And Nixie, if you need to hand anywhere, I'm happy to help.
Well, he loves the show, so he'll be listening. Expect a call a little bit later on today. Great to chat as always, mate. Go well.
Cheers, pal.
Darren Lehman. One of our favourites around these parts. We'll hear plenty of him from him through the Ashes campaign as well, which is going to be great fun.
On RSN's Breakfast with Half, it's Robbo at 8.
Look at that! Look at that! Is that the moon?
Bom 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 for dang a dang dang for ding a dong ding blue moon.
Two times of the week, we sit there, we set the tape, and we go, this is going to be good. It's Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. It's Robbo at 8. Mark Robinson, the chief footy writer at the Herald Sun, the main man on 360 on Fox Footy as well. He's back with us on a Thursday morning. Robbo, good morning.
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Pretty good. Very good, actually.
Well, that's bloody good to hear, Mark. I'm pleased to hear it.
What was your favourite Tina Turner song?
River Deep, Mountain High.
Oh, yeah, you are a soulful sort of character. We know that.
That's my favourite. What's yours? You got him before I did. What's yours?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, the most inspiring is simply the best. But the one that was of everyone's got up to and danced is Nutbush City Limit.
Yeah, Nutbush, pretty big business. Or as someone called it off the SMS before, Saltbush City Limits is the best. It was Michael in Brisbane. Saltbush.
Oh, mate, this is that's everyone. That's a wedding song. It's a family reunion song. And everyone gets up. Do you know how to do the dance?
Yeah, I'm a... Oh, Mark, please.
Yeah, sorry, I'll take that back.
I used to get invoices on a Monday morning from nightclubs all across the state for scorching their dance floors on Saturday nights.
You wearing your white pants.
There was no white pants, I'll give you the tip. No white pants. In my world, thank you very much. With my physique, that does not work.
I'll tell you what, more people will be talking about Tina Turner than that other idiot, Rolf Harris.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many concerns for Rolf just at the minute, comparatively. To the great Tina Turner. I reckon you might be right on that. But there's plenty of people talking about coaching, Robbo, in the AFL, and the Damien Hardwick standing down the other day is, well, it's a domino, isn't it? And then the next conversation, as Stewie Jew says yesterday, the next one is we'll play the game of who's next. He handled himself really well yesterday, Stewie Jew, and I was fully supportive of that today on the program in the big yarn. And I reckon the way we come for Stewie Jew is probably, it's a little bit distasteful at times, Robbo, but he's standing up for himself, which I love.
I thought his press conference yesterday was fantastic. Stewie Jew, ever had the opportunity to meet him, and I know a lot of people, well, the listeners wouldn't have that opportunity, but if you take note of how he speaks, when he speaks, he's a terrific person, and he spoke with such leadership yesterday, but on the man, and what really struck me is the truth, is when he said, these young boys have re-signed partly because of him.
Yep.
Because building a team and getting that investment, all those things that you need to build a group, Stewie Jew has been the central figure in all that. So these young people have set themselves on a son's future, believing that Stewie Jew is there. We know that can change, but you know, I look at what Kenny Hinckley's doing with the young people at Port, and I know they're not getting the results yet, but I feel it's a sort of the same thing that they're growing. And the Gold Coast Suns, and I feel sorry for him. I really do, because it's always Suns, it's always players. Oh, they're going to leave. It's always, oh, Stewie Jew's under pressure. But that can all disappear if they win games of football.
Yeah, but the thing about that, and I agree with you, and it's part of the conversation I was having before, that he's been able to get this group to believe, and they've committed to the medium term to be a part of the Gold Coast Suns opportunity. And I think that's underplayed from a lot of people. And yes, wins are everything. We know it's a win-loss business. And so we absolutely use that as our baseline more often than not, which is fair. But the ability to bring that group together, because no one's leaving, Robbo. None of the talent is leaving the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, it's a massive point. So when they sit down and talk about their future, right, where do we want to be with their managers? There's no doubt that the influence of Stewie Jew is playing on the minds and having an effect on the decision that these young people are leaving. Yeah, I don't know what the alternative is, mate. I really don't. I mean, but people have even gone after Port Adelaide, you know, David Cochin, Port Adelaide and Ken Hinckley. I mean, not for one second do I think that Ken Hinckley will be leaving Port Adelaide. Mm. I just can't see it. I mean, he's in a position like Ross Lyon was with St Kilda when he first left. Righto. But if another team comes through and says, we'll give you a 6-year deal, you know, Kenny could turn around and say, hey, I've got to look after my family.
Yeah, and that's the difference. That's the difference in this scenario, Stewie Jew. That's not the conversation about somebody poaching him. It's about him just being superseded by somebody else, which Kenny is. Is the chance with what's happened with Richmond and Damien Hardwick this week, there is an opportunity. Who knows if it's a conversation that will be had, but an opportunity for Richmond to go to Kenny and say, we reckon you're pretty awesome. How about 6 years on the table at plenty of cash? Would you think about it? That's the difference in that scenario.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, Ken was offered the opportunity to apply for the Essendon job last year. Okay? Now, if he applied, right, I think it's before Brad Scott, but if Ken Hinckley said, okay, I'll go for that job, he probably would have got a four-year deal. But Kenny chose not to apply it, to stay true to his one-year contract, remaining at Port Adelaide, which is this year.
Yep.
But also the same, he's invested with these kids as well, and these kids are invested in him. Look at the way they're playing.
Well, they're magnificent.
Look at them after the game, mate. I know if that happens in footy, and everyone's probably like getting carried away with it, but I don't. I look at the mechanics and how they play, and then you look at the emotional investment. I thought, God, have a look at this. God, people who support teams who aren't winning games, you look at it and you go, God, I wish my team was like that.
Yep.
I wish my coach was like that with the players. So. And Stewie's got that a little bit with the Suns when they have wins.
Yeah, they just don't win often enough at this stage.
That's the problem, Dan. That is a problem.
I agree with that. That is a problem.
That's the only problem. That's the only problem. But it's a big problem. It's the only problem.
It's a big one.
Big games coming up in Darwin.
Yeah.
Will be massive.
Yep, no, they're a big watch, no doubt. The wins are the problem, but the dynamics are pretty strong there at Gold Coast for Stewie Jew and his playing group, no doubt about that. Speaking of wins and problems, the Adam Simpson situation, Robbo, what's your take on this? The story emerged last night that the Eagles will encourage Adam Simpson to take 3 months off at the end of the season. Important to note that it's the end of the season, to freshen up and rejuvenate because they believe he's the man to take them forward. Then the West Coast come out and refute that on Twitter, saying that conversation hasn't been had and that's not true. And then Rebecca Williams has got a story in your paper today saying that an Eagles spokesperson said that's exactly what's happened. What's going on over there in the West?
Well, that's very confusing. I wasn't aware. When I went to bed last night, all I was aware that Channel 7 in Perth ran with the story.
Yep.
So that's when I first heard it. And I thought to myself, oh, well, yeah, that's understandable. And I didn't think it was too obscure that he's taken time off at the end of the year.
Do you not reckon that's a bit odd to have that conversation at round 10, though, to make that a public offering?
Well, I don't know if they probably would have made it. They did probably, if it's true, they probably didn't want it to get out. No one wants stories like that out because it creates discussion about their football club. So. But if the West Coast Eagles on Twitter said it's not true, and then a spokesman told the Herald Sun it is true, what corner are you in?
Well, I'm in the what the hell's going on corner, I must admit. I find it bizarre that that's a conversation that's been had 10 rounds in when you've got 14 to go, 14 weeks to go for West Coast at this stage, and Adam Simpson's got to get through that phase. I find it bizarre that that's even a conversation. I will give you 3 months off at the back end of the year. Well, that's fine, well and good, Robbo, but I've got 14 weeks of work to do, and I'm under the pump.
Yeah, he has got a lot of work to do, hasn't he? Yeah, it is odd, but I'm sure they didn't want... If it's true, and I don't doubt Rebecca Williams, if she's spoken to someone at the club and the club has said yes, they probably didn't want it to get out.
No, probably not. I mean, the best news for Simo is the fact that he's seemingly got unbelievable endorsement and support from all of the board and the chairman at West Coast. That's a big endorsement.
It is, but we look at Simo. I've looked at Adam Simpson over the years. He does look frazzled, and he does look like the world's on top of him.
No doubt.
And for him to have some time off at the end of the season, good. Good. This is what life's about. Don't work yourself into the ground. And
I'm all for that.
In a situation where, you know, you're finding it impossible to work. We don't want anyone working under those circumstances.
But that must seem like a world away 14 weeks down the track. That must seem a world away for Adam Simpson at the moment.
But if they've got a plan, because what we don't see is their plan, because there's so many injuries.
Yep.
Usually when a team is regenerating, they will play their senior players, and now for a month, they might circulate five or six youngsters, okay, and say, oh, we're playing him, he's getting dropped, and we're bringing them in. But we can't see that. They're just playing everyone who's available at the moment, and they're getting walloped. There's no other, but there's no other solution for him at the moment.
No.
No. Did you hear him last week at halftime? I did. He said, "Oh, I don't know, you know. Just go out and play and do our best." like listening to me under 12 coach, that's greases, and then you go, "Go out there, do your best, kid. Yeah, just do your best. Just try and enjoy it, you know. Try and play on. Try and move the ball. Bring your teammates in."
pat each other on the bum. Have a great time. No, it's a challenge. But I find that story bizarre, I must admit. What about putting a discussion at the Hawks at the moment? Yesterday, Justin Reeves, the CEO, stood down. Do you think that was an inevitable outcome for all of the saga that's going on at the Hawthorn Footy Club at the moment, or are you a bit shocked by that?
Yeah, I don't like saying that someone's going to lose their job. I just don't like it. But I would have thought that Justin Reeves was one person who was going to struggle to survive through this period. Hawks are taking a lot of criticism. Jeff Kennett is the one that's public at the moment defending the Hawthorn position of launching the storytelling investigation. Well, this wasn't an investigation, it was storytelling.
Yeah.
When they got the storytelling back, they went, "Ooh," as McKenna described it, as horrifying. So he took it to the AFL and from there got lost control. The story lost control and it got out, and here we are 9 months later. You can't say too much. I mean, people say to me already, "Oh, he was sacked. He was sacked. He had to be sacked." And the mental health, no, that's just something that people throw in. Now, people say that to me already.
Yep.
And I say, you know what? I don't know. But if he's got mental health issues, he's got mental health issues. And everyone's got to respect that and understand that. So there's no point talking about whether he was sacked or not sacked. I didn't think he was going to survive. He stepped away. Everyone's just got to say, okay, he got some issues. But this mental health situation in the world that we live in is becoming more and more prevalent, Daniel.
It is.
More and more prevalent. And I'm going to get myself in trouble here, I know. I've only been on the show for 2 weeks, so I'm going to get sacked.
Careful.
Yeah, I'm careful. I'm careful. I mean, I'm cynical. I'm not cynical about Justin Reeves, one little bit. You know, it's a very stressful time. I'm not cynical about Alistair Clarkson, but there's a lot of times in life where, you know, behaviour is down to mental health.
Yes.
And there's nothing bad behaviour about Justin Reeves whatsoever. You know, he's living through a stressful time. Adam Simpson. Is it mental health or is it stress? Is it... He wants to. We want to send him away for 3 months to go and clear the head and refresh and go and sit in the sun or drink beers or whatever he wants to do. Is that a kind of mental health release? Probably, but you know, we all need breaks in life, don't
we?
No
doubt.
To say, "Hey, God, stop. It's just too much. I just need a couple of days off." So, well, good luck to Justin Reeves. He's the CEO there for a long, long time. It's a difficult situation for everyone involved, and hopefully the AFL is continuing. Well, I know they are. They're continuing to find a solution, Daniel, but the problem is that is difficult to ascertain.
It seems to be currently. Let's finish on a positive, Robbo. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
I'm looking forward to Adelaide. I just heard you talk to Jamie Rogers. I reckon the Adelaide-Brisbane game is going to be fantastic.
I'm with you.
Right about Adelaide. And I'm bloody spewing because I was 360 last night and I started writing a column about Melbourne for Saturday, yesterday afternoon, and King comes in and starts going whack, whack, whack on Melbourne. So I sat there looking at him going, shit. I'm not going to ask you any questions about this. Joey afterwards, I said, I didn't ask him a question because I'm bloody writing about it. About Melbourne. But, well, I liked it because I thought I'm not alone. I'm just wondering whether Melbourne's, where Melbourne is at the moment. They're playing Fremantle. And it is a big game of football.
It is.
And they're all big, but this is big. This is big. Anyway.
It's going to be good fun, as it is always, talking to you on a Tuesday and a Thursday, Robbo. We appreciate your time, mate. Have a great weekend. We'll chat next week.
No worries. Super.
Great stuff. Mark Robinson with us, the chief footy writer of the Herald Sun.